Greetings.
Hello, everyone. Hello, friend at home. Welcome to Why Mommy Drinks. This is Betsy Stover. Ha ha ha. I think that sound says it all. Today I am joined by you, dear listener, and I'm also joined by my guest co-host today, Amy Albert.
Hello, my friends.
Hello, friends. And I am so excited. I have been wanting this person on the show for years. She's an author and illustrator and just a very funny human being, Liz Climo.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. Wow, for years, nobody's wanted me to do anything for years. I'm so touched.
Well, feel it. So I have three kids. They're all boys. I have a 6-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 11-year-old. I feel like every time I try to say that, I stumble over it. Amy, what you got?
I have two. I got a 6¾-year-old gal. She's telling everyone the 3/4. Actually, it's because my mom is giving me my mom's visiting, and she's like, I think you're 6¾. And then she hasn't shut up about it. So, I have a 4-year-old little man.
Awesome. And Liz, what you got going over there?
Well, I have an 8½-year-old daughter, and I know this doesn't technically count, but I am. We did just adopt a puppy that we're picking up on Saturday, so that'll be our baby.
puppy!
Yeah. Oh, and I have a 16-year-old dog as well. So I have a 16-year-old dog. She's gonna love. She's gonna absolutely hate the puppy, but we'll try. So anyway. Yeah.
Well, our dog Dave passed away recently, and right before I was like, should we get? This is, and I felt bad saying this, but I'm like, should we get another dog, like as a gateway dog?
Like before or after, like as a way of like smoothing it, like
before.
Yeah.
Should we like just have an overlap?
The blow.
The lesson.
Yeah,
the
that makes. I think a lot of people do that.
I think so. And yes. Like, I will say that did cross my mind. A lot of it though was that my husband, myself, and our older dog were all middle to older aged, and my daughter is the only youthful energy in the house. So I was like, maybe another being that doesn't just like, you know, lay around and nap all the time. Second match that 8½-year-old's energy. So that's the plan. We'll see how it goes.
Oh my God. You guys, we were supposed to dog sit our friend's dog. Our friend was supposed to go and for work to New Zealand for like a 2 months this summer. And he was going to like pay us to watch his dog. And I was like, fuck yeah, right on. Because I've been wanting to have a dog around or like a pet around. But I've also decided that I don't want a pet and that I've retired from dealing with other animals or humans, fecal matter that isn't my own. I just like, I'm retired, I think, at least until everyone gets out of the house. I just fucking can't. But so this dog comes over, sweet as pie, sweet dog. Isn't a big beggar, isn't like stealing food. We've dog sat in the past and the dog's like stealing everyone's food and everyone's like freaking out because my kids, because we don't have pets, they'll leave food on the fucking couch on a plate and then be like, this dog is a jerk. Like, no, he left food on a plate on a couch. But so this dog was like really kind. And then we went outside, and my 6-year-old was playing with the dog, and I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. My husband was there. Y'all, this dog, a little French bulldog, bit my fucking 6-year-old.
No!
In the fucking face!
No!
And
a French bulldog?
Like, and dear
crazy.
Listener, our friend in the internet may recall, this is my second out of 3 children who has been bitten on the fucking face by a dog.
I was just thinking, because you had that older dog a million years ago, right? I remember that. Yeah.
Yes.
You had to give him away. Oh, shit.
So you're saying that getting a dog was a good idea then?
Excellent. choices.
It was so awkward. We had to be like, okay, so you're, so we were like, it was like a test babysitting for the, or, you know, yeah. dog sitting for a few days while he was at like a wedding or something. And we had to be like, hey, oh, no. so.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
It's awkward. Yeah, this isn't going to work. And we need your dog to leave immediately.
That's correct. So wait, what led up to it? Like,
they were just like playing with a toy. I think it was just that the dog was maybe feeling overwhelmed, or maybe the dog was feeling like this is my toy. Don't touch it. I don't know what. Oh. I wasn't there. I know that right before it, my husband was like, oh, maybe he needs like a little space or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know how his fucking face was like all up close to a bull, the French bulldog. What were you going to say, Liz?
Was he okay? Was your kid okay? Sorry, was
it? Yeah, he's got you know, one tooth kind of went in on his face, and it was bleeding a bit. Baby. And he's got a little scratch under his eye, and he's got sort of, it looks like the teeth, essentially it's like the teeth marks kind of scraped, like grazed across his cheek. So he looks kind of crazy, but he's okay. But it's just such a fucking bummer.
Yeah, that's all.
That is.
You know, it's traumatic.
Right.
Is he like expressing fear of dogs now, or do you feel?
After that happened, he was like a little freaked out about the dog until the dog left. And it Bubba. Sucks. I love dogs. I don't want my kids to be afraid of dogs.
Had that ever happened before with that dog?
No.
Our friends like all the time.
yeah. No,
constantly.
You know what? Our friend is a single like guy, you know, like around our age, maybe a little older, and maybe it was kind of untested the concept of this dog with three loud, boisterous children.
Sure.
Yeah. I got bitten in the face when I was 20 by a Rottweiler.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah. And it's a crazy experience. I remember being so stunned by it because like I knew this dog, I was petting her. Like, I'll admit she was kind of a dick. Like, she wasn't the friendliest fucking dog in the world, but like I'm like, you know me.
And yeah, I was petting your her friends.
I mean, we're like friendly, if not friends.
You were good acquaintances.
She knew my scent. Isn't that enough? She, she bit me, and it was so shocking. And I have to admit, like, I'd never been afraid of Rottweilers prior, but now I see Rottweilers, and I'm like, actually, I don't see Rottweilers very often now. Do you even see those dogs anymore? They're all dead. I manifested it. Yeah.
We're like, that dog breed never even existed. What are you talking about?
No, I just invented it.
Rottweiler? That sounds like a made-up name.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, man. Well, I feel like, you know, with dogs, they're still, even, they're so sweet and we love them, but they're still animals. And it's like, you know, you just, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
It's such a bummer when it happens, so.
Well, it is.
When we had our first kid, it's weird. It was like, what do they say? Like the scales like were removed from my eyes or whatever. Like once we had our
Liz's face was like, what scales?
Liz is like, you had scaly eyeballs. What is happening?
That's more of an issue than anything else.
I think that's the saying. It means like your eyes were weighted like a scale, maybe.
Oh,
and then and now. Or you're like a mer-person.
We're not talking
person.
Like lizard people. Yeah.
Like fish scales.
I'm a lizard person. Once I had a child, I became a human. Once we had our first kid, it was like our dog who had been, you know, the center of everything. All of a sudden it was like, oh, you're a fucking animal and not a person or a child. So I fucking get it.
I don't know if I've talked about this. I used to own a pet snake named Fang when I was
named Fang.
I know what a
when
what Sweet name. How old was my mom? I was like 7 or 8. Eight or nine. Okay. And I had this, you know, what if I was like, oh, I was 41.
Exactly. <Got him. laughs>
But Fang, like we got him as a little baby, and then he got bigger and bigger, and I was like, oh, you know, he was a king snake, some kind of reason. And I would like, you know, wear him around my neck. And then one day my friend Amy came over and my snake bit her. And oh, I shit. Never fucking touched that snake again. I was like, goodbye to this experiment. Yeah, and we had him for years at that point, but I was like, oh, fuck that.
The scales fell from your eyes.
Exactly.
Your snake scales.
The snake scales. Woo! Yeah.
That's wild. Scary. Oh my God, it was sort of like you were just like, oh, you're a fucking snake.
Exactly. Like, oh shit. Oh, I forgot what you are. Okay. Yeah.
My older sister actually had a friend. My older sister's friend stayed with us for like a month for some reason when she was in high school, when they were both in high school. And she had a snake and she brought the snake and the snake stayed at her house. And it was just like a garden, like, I don't know about snakes really all that much, but it was like a, you know, a pet snake. It was, you know, and one day we came home and she was like, hey, bad news, the snake is lost. I lost the snake. And we were like, well, what happened? Where'd you lose it? Where did it go? And she was like, oh, in the house somewhere. And this snake was lost in her house for about 2 weeks. So
that's
I don't
horrifying.
Have a problem. I actually, I'm fine with snakes. I know snakes are like a big fear for a lot of people. I'm fine with snakes. When there's one lost in your house and you don't know where it is, it's a totally different story.
Oh, God.
And guess where I ended up finding it? In my laundry basket. I went to pull something out, an article of clothing out of my laundry basket to put upon my body, which I do every
day. I was playing a weird little, horn. I just happened to be doing it.
When it kind of just, you know, slide sort of came up. Yeah.
Whoa.
That's very scary.
And that's the end of the story. That's... I think I blocked the rest. I don't know.
Did you scream and throw, like, the basket?
I can picture in my mind's eye, like, seeing it, but then everything else kind of goes blank. Because like, I was just like,
listener, you can't see this, but Liz is not wearing any clothes. Liz can't wear clothes anymore because she was so traumatized by this laundry incident.
No, the irony is I still pull clothes from my hamper every single day. That's where all my outfits are. It's like if it was there yesterday, it'll be there today. It's really a reliable place. So it couldn't have been that dramatic. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
So this was like a guest snake in your home. It was like visiting. Okay. And then were you like, hey,
which is bold.
Yeah,
it really is bold. My parents were a lot, they parented differently than I parent. Because I'd be like, absolutely not. No, you may not stay at our house with your snake.
Yeah.
For a month.
For a month.
Wow. Someone else's child.
Yeah.
Well, while we're on the topic, the story that I decided to tell this week has to do with animals, has to do with pets. Has to do with animals and pets who don't necessarily love you back. No offense, but, you know, Fang, I don't know. I don't know about snakes. So our 6-year-old had a goldfish. And we had gotten this. So in the tank with this goldfish, we have our oldest son has a large goldfish. They're quite advanced in age and they are quite large. I would say they are about the size of a child's fist. Like they're it's a quite large goldfish at this point.
Wait,
a fantail.
What? I didn't even know they could get that big.
Yeah, it's like the size of a fucking lime. It's a big fish.
I thought goldfish live for 24 hours and then you flush them down the toilet. Like, I didn't know they could grow.
I think this is what happens if you are able to keep them alive, then they just never stop growing.
Oh,
I think that is. I heard something weird, like they will kind of expand to whatever tank you have, like whatever their space is, they will get. I mean, isn't this is really ignorant. Are koi fish Are koi fish just big goldfish?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
But that is bold because koi fish are really, really expensive. So it's pretty, be like, listen, I kept this goldfish alive for like 20 years. You owe me $5,000.
But I mean, that's hard to keep a goldfish alive for 20 years. So maybe like kudos to you. You should have like $5,000. Oh, I'll know I made it when I have a koi pond and my own apiary. Anyway, we have this large goldfish and we have this ugly fucking thing. It's called a doja something. I hate it so much. It has creepy eyes. It's albino, so it has red eyes, and it's kind of see-through, and it just looks like an ugly sort of snake, and it bullies the other fish because it's, like, food-obsessed, and I hate it so much. But my son is like, that one, that ugly fucking snake fish, I want it. I was like, really? You don't want a beautiful fantail goldfish? No, I want the ugliest, bossiest fish ever. So she's the worst. And so we had these two fish, and here's what I learned. Okay, so I was like, what? Our youngest child wants a fish. What can we get in there? How do we do this? And so essentially it was like, let's just get another goldfish. Okay. So when I was looking into it, what I learned was, I guess goldfish are super dumb, and they kind of bumble through life being like, does this go in my mouth? Nom, nom, nom. Oh, maybe not. What about this? Does this go in my mouth? Nom, nom, nom. And so
I feel like I dated all of those fish. Those sound like ex-boyfriends
of mine. I know. Does this go in my mouth? Familiar.
Does this go here? Oh, okay.
Hi, I'm Amy. This is my boyfriend. His name is Orangey.
He's the size of a lime. We're doing great.
Don't worry. He's 20. He's age appropriate. So what I didn't know was we should have, when we brought this small new goldfish home, we should have kept it in like a little, we have sort of this extra little tank where it's like, it's sort of like a see-through X-Men jail cell where like.
Like Magneto's jail, you mean?
It's just like Magneto's jail. Thank you, Liz.
You're welcome.
And so we have this little Magneto jail for dogs, for fish, and they can hang in there and be in the tank, but no one can touch them, and they can't touch anybody else, and also they can't use their magnetic powers. So I didn't realize that we should have done that. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, I want a Magneto jail for my own home so that nobody touches me or asks me for anything. I can just kind of like sit in a glass box and nobody, like my child will run up and ask me for snacks and they'll be like, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm in a box. Like,
do you watch the show called You?
Yes. He's like, I need like a cell, like where he keeps his victims only for me in my own home so my family will leave me alone.
Yes.
Exactly.
Just for short periods of time, not for all the time.
No.
Oh, I want long periods of time. Can I have long periods of time?
Like 5 hours, I think, is fine.
That's
nice.
I don't even want them knocking on it. What I want is like a bomb shelter where I can go and close the door and not hear anything. If it's nuclear holocaust or, you know, just children asking for snacks. So we should have put our fish in the Magneto jail, but we didn't. And so one day we put it in there, and he was shy. He was hanging out in the castle, and we're like, oh, cool. He's hanging out in the castle. That he's going to keep himself safe from the big dumb goldfish and that creepy doja, whatever her name is. I can't remember. And so we came home one day, and he was missing an eyeball. And I think the goldfish was like, does this go in my mouth? This eyeball? And ate this fucking fish's eyeball. So we had a one-eyed goldfish. Goldfish. So we just got back this week. We were in Boston visiting family. It was our first trip out of town since the pandemic. We went and we visited my in-laws, and we stayed at their house, and you know, that's a whole thing in and of itself. But when we got back, so the one-eyed goldfish, who was a new addition to our family, but not so new that this was clearly somehow our fault. Like it wasn't so new that it was like, oh, that's Petco giving us a shitty fit. Like, no, we did something. So I don't know what happened, but my husband got home and saw that the fish died, and he had passed away, gone to the rainbow bridge for fish.
The rainbow toilet bowl.
The rainbow current in the stream. And apparently it was all like decomp, like decomp had happened.
What?
So it was like coming apart, and it was like it had been there long. We were only gone for like 5 days. So it was as if we left and the fish was like, and now I'm dead. So our 6-year-old was very sad. Aww. It was a closed casket funeral. Closed shoebox funeral. My husband quickly ushered this. He was like, I gotta bury this goldfish. Like, we had just gotten home like 20 minutes ago from the airport. And he was like, I gotta go bury this goldfish. And it's like, it's 10 p.m. Like, why are you burying a goldfish right now? Can't we have, I think I even said, like, can't we have like a service tomorrow? he was like, no, he was like, this is a closed coffin fish funeral. I got to go bury this right now. Also, like, why he had to bury it. I mean, that says everything about my husband.
I was going to say, like, you can just flush those. You don't have to bury them.
There's so many things you can flush. And those are
so
like
many
top five things.
That I think that's totally okay to flush. I think those are okay.
I mean, there you go. He's so like, what's the word? Not sympathetic, but like he puts so much. Thank you. That's exactly the word I was looking for. He's very sentimental, and so to flush a fish, he can't do that. He's like, I have to give it a proper Christian burial, dust to dust, fish to fish. Let's bury it. So anyway, so our 6-year-old was really broken up about it, of course. And he was crying, and we had just gotten off a 6-hour flight. So he was, you know, hungry and tired and, you know, hadn't really gotten his needs met as much as normal. So he was crying. Aww. And our 11-year-old wanted to make him feel better in his weird 11-year-old way. Our 11-year-old is sort of he's not sentimental. He's more like I am, I suppose. So he says to the 6-year-old, he's like, don't worry, Odie. That fish didn't even know you loved him anyway. He was just a fish. He didn't love you back. He probably didn't even know you existed or something like that. And my husband and I both were like, ooh, like giving him like the, like, giving him a crazy face, like, shh, stop talking, stop talking. And this is shocking, but it didn't make the 6-year-old feel better.
Weird.
But I do love that the 11-year-old was like, this will make you feel better. That fish had no idea that you even knew it and couldn't pick you out of a lineup.
I mean, so, good point, though. It really is a fair point. Also, I'm curious, so do you know what happened? Like, did you guys do an autopsy?
What did the report say?
I don't know. I asked my husband and he had no idea. He said it was caught in the filter, but that could have been something that happened afterwards.
Maybe, yeah.
Huh.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I feel bad though. We brought it home. We put it in a tank with two psycho fish. One of them ate its eyeball, which had to be traumatic. And I didn't even say this before, but also part of one of its fins. And,
Lord.
That was a little, little nibble.
It had like a Finding Nemo kind of, like its tail was kind of half.
Oh, jeez. That little guy.
It didn't have a good life with us.
So it was the snakefish that ate this thing alive, basically?
I don't. There are two what is it, possible perpetrators of this crime, and I don't know, there's two murderous fish, I guess, living in that tank, and I guess they're in their own private Magneto jail now.
Why don't they eat each other? What's happening there? They're just buddies and they're like, look, anyone else?
No, they just kind of coexist, and the doja fish is I'm trying to remember what her name is. She's got a human name.
Samantha.
Is it Megan?
Gabriella. she that fish is like, yeah, really pushy and bossy and like steals everybody's food. And then the other one is just like, oh, blah, 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 I'm a lime. Anyway, that's the story of what happened this week. And it didn't break me, but it was eventful.
It wasn't your most favorite moment.
It wasn't my favorite moment. And boy, those kids went to bed late. They had school the next day. Sure. They went to bed at like midnight because there was just... Everyone was full of energy from being on an airplane for 6 hours. I have to say, on our way out to Boston, my husband was in a different row and he slept the whole time.
Oh my God.
Which I kind of resented. And this time around, I slept the whole time.
That's how you make it even.
Yeah.
That is the best when you fall asleep. And then wake up and you're just there. And it's like, oh,
oh my God.
Did we even fly? I don't even remember. Your husband's like, kill me.
Yeah, exactly. My husband is like, they got shushed by strangers more than once.
Sure.
So yeah, my husband has his own story for the podcast about that trip home. But
perfect. But
I wouldn't know. I wasn't around for it. I was in Sleepyville.
Can I tell you a crazy koi fish story? I just thought of this. I put it in my notes because this really needs to be told.
Oh my God. Could you please?
Now I feel like it's not going to be that fun. Okay, so.
It has to be pretty crazy. This better fish be was a magician. Yeah, a racist. Magician racist. Okay, go on.
Okay, so I don't mean to brag, but I used to be a weekend nanny, so things were going great. And so I actually used to be a weekend nanny for Laura Dern.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, who's very nice, by the way. And so her two kids, Jaya and Ellery, and this was, you know, when I first moved here, so 5,000 years ago. They were living in the Palisades, this beautiful rental home, I guess. And they had a koi pond in their massive, amazing Palisades backyard. So one day I was with them and I went to the backyard and half of the fish were dead. And I was like, what the fuck? And I called them over. I'm like, what happened? And I don't remember if it was Jaya or Ellery, but they kind of looked at each other and I was like, oh shit. And so I was like, I'm just going to pretend I didn't see this. I was only there on the weekend. You know what I mean? Like, how responsible can I be? So later on, my friend who was like their full-time nanny was like, yeah, one of the kids put the hose in the pond.
Oh, no.
And it murdered the fucking fish. So
put the hose in the pond and turn it on, and it messed with the chemistry of the like the delicate balance. Oh no!
Yes, oh, no. Yes. And this was like it was crazy because this was somebody's house that they were staying in and renting, and I.
So
oh
those
my God.
Fish belonged to the homeowner.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Yeah.
The Desmora turns rich.
I know. I was like, oh, I mean, I'm sure it was handled well on her end, but I was like, oh man, because I didn't, first of all, then I looked up how much koi fish are.
Yeah,
they're fucking they're a lot of money.
Well, but Laura Dern could have just bought goldfish and raised them for years and years and then they would have become koi fish. So sure she would have had the means to do that,
right? That's how it works, right?
That's how that works. Yes, that's how that works.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, any place, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun. Eat it too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
Well, Amy, can you please tell us a story of something that has maybe broken you?
Sure. Should I talk about my mom's visit?
It's up to you.
She's still in your house. She left, right?
She's standing right here.
Is she?
No, she's gone.
Okay.
How fucked up would that be? I was like,
I don't think so.
She just leans in. Hi. Yeah. you know, I'll talk about this. So I
as long
them.
As you don't tell a whole story and then later I have to edit the entire story out.
okay. Let me think about it. Okay. I'll tell you a different one. Okay, so I almost text you like a million times this week in Betsy where I was like, tell me about how I get out of this. Like, because you and your mom don't talk. And I was like, how can I?
Right.
Because
I don't talk to my mom. Yeah. Yeah. We are no longer in communication.
Yeah.
Which is the nuclear option.
Sometimes that's the healthiest way to go.
Absolutely. And yeah,
it is for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I almost text you and I'm like, me too, sister. Almost happened a bunch of times. Also, she was staying at my house for 8 days. And also the week before, it was my in-laws. And I'm just going fucking insane. And I need to be alone forever.
No, 8 days is too long.
That's a long
time.
It's
too long to have someone in your house. It's too long to be at someone else's house.
Yeah.
It's too long.
You can't do shit. You have to you have to drive them everywhere. You have to, it's like.
No. 3 days. 3 days.
Yeah.
Four maybe.
Yeah. All I will say is I cried 5 out of the 8 days that she was here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of shit in there that, like, I can't possibly take all the time for. So no. I will tell you this other thing. Recently, a member of the family, I'm not going to say who, wasn't my mom, it was not my mom, made a comment to my daughter that made my skin crawl. And I know it wasn't their intention, but it's like a generational thing. But this person said, Bo, do you have a boyfriend? My daughter is in first grade. Mm-hmm. Also, ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of ew. So much ew and lots of different kinds
offense.
Of ew there. Yeah.
Lots of ew.
No offense to our listeners, but that's a boomer question.
That's a boomer question.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. And so.
It's kind of like, go on, give him a hug. Give him a hug. You know, give the stranger a hug. Yeah.
Yes, give him a kiss.
Yes.
Yeah.
The boomers sexualize us all as children. Why is that?
I don't, I mean, maybe it was like, because like gender was very established when our parents were younger, right? So it was like, yes, you're a girl and you're pretty for boys and you're a boy and you're tough. And like, yes, now we're so different and we're so hyper aware of like raising kids that aren't labeled right away. We give them, yeah. So mm-hmm. then that is not yeah. a part of their, and I understand that. And I think like they, I know that this was not said to like be harmful at all, but
right.
so they said, and I go, and Bo looked at me and frowned, and I go, no, like I was like immediately mad. I was like, of course she doesn't. Ew, ew. I just said ew over and over. And then, and Bo was like, ew, no, you know, my poor kid. And then, but then they continued. They were like, really? Because I bet there's a whole bunch of boys in your class that want to be your boyfriend.
God.
Wanted to die. I was like, no, there are not. Like, and how do you handle that? Because it's coming from like a sweet place. But I'm like, first of all,
yeah.
I'm raising my daughter to be disgusted by dicks. No, I'm just kidding. But I am. Just kidding.
Tell her to say that next time. Be like, yeah, actually, I'm disgusted by dicks. Thanks for your question.
Thank you.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Exactly. I should ask. I tell her to ask that next time. Just shoot that one right back. How about you? Who are you dating? Yeah. So, yeah. And I was like so visibly distraught by this mm-hmm. question. That, and I don't think the person
and
asked
you
it,
yelled no and ew.
Ew. No. Ew. Ew. Yeah, exactly. And Bo was like, ew. Yeah, like, you know. And so Bo, but the thing is, the person who asked it, they didn't pick up that I was like, the fuck is wrong with you? Do not. They just kind of kept ha 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 going with it. And my daughter was like, oh, my mom is, she's upset.
Yeah, she could tell.
And I, yeah, she was like, oh, and they, so she was kind of sort of like, no, no boyfriends, never, never. And I'm like, exactly. But so, So this person, and I didn't feel like I could be like, hey, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
That's fucking gross. And yeah. Please never, ever say, I can't say that shit because, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. I struggled with that a lot. I can't stop thinking about it. It makes me want to vomit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you know what, like, I will say that, like, my son, they're all like, oh, he's so handsome. He's so handsome. Oh, she's so – it's, like, always, like, focusing on their appearance. Mm-hmm. And I know that is, again, like, a very, like, that is a thing, that a normal thing that people do. But I yeah. always come back with, like, you know what? She is really beautiful, but she's really, really kind and so yeah. smart. He, you know, he's very creative. He's super – he's a good-looking guy, but he's also –
yeah.
And that is not, it's not being picked up, I guess.
It's a very generational and very cultural thing, isn't it?
I've noticed though, like, even people who are my age or younger, it's like they sort of, you just kind of repeat what you think is praise because you were given it as praise. So it's like with my daughter, like people, you know, will say this, it's like, oh, she's, you know, like I had a friend once who was like, oh, she has a dancer's body. And I'm like, can you not talk about her body? Like, I don't, yes! we don't even need to talk about her body. How about that? Like, let's just talk about like what she's doing in school right now. You know, she's in third grade. Like it's,
yeah.
People mean well by it, but it's like, well, you're basically praising them for these things that are not only just not important, but also like they might not have forever. And so they might equate that with like, oh, this is what I was praised for and I need to get it back. And it just yeah. all of it's just toxic and you're so gross. I hate it so much.
That's
I
a
just
really good way of
you know
that,
what? Yeah. When we were growing up, it was always fair game to be made fun of or to make fun of others for things they couldn't help, right? Disabilities.
Yeah, things they can't control. Right. Yeah.
You know, their sexuality, like And that was all like fair game, and yet we also were getting compliments about things that we couldn't help uh-huh. that weren't you know anything within our control either, the way that we look and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really weird. I'm I'm so grateful that we're starting to move. I made it sound like I was in my head. I'm like, we've moved away from it. But like, well, no, in a very specific cloistered part of motherhood in LA, maybe we have. But yeah, I feel like we're moving away from that culturally, society wise. Right.
It does feel like that. It does feel like our generation is turning it around.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And, you know, you're all about the praise stuff. Like, I was assigned being a pretty girl with long hair when mm-hmm. I was younger. And mm-hmm. and I hate to admit that it, like, if I didn't present as pretty, mm-hmm. that I thought I was worthless. And, like, those aren't, yes. like, things that you can, like, as a 10-year-old, I'm like, if I don't look nice, I'm worthless. But like as an adult, I'm right. going like, oh, my looks are really important. And they're fucking not. Like, who gives a shit?
But we were raised to think that we owed everyone yes. to look nice.
Yes. Right. Good word. Owed them that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. If we word. Didn't look nice or look a certain way or smile, that we were failing everyone else. That yes. we weren't like holding up our end of the bargain or something. And you're right. We belong there and we deserve to be there whether we look pretty or not.
Exactly.
And we finally figured that out about our fucking kids. And everyone's like, no, but they're pretty.
But yeah. Look how yeah. good looking they are. Just stick to that. Hang your hat on that. Yeah.
I have to say, I was very lucky. I had a really, really good mom when it came to this stuff. And I sort of never really rebelled all that much, but now I'm in my 40s and I feel rebellious for the first time in my life where I'm like, hey, guess what, fuck you, I'm gonna dress like a motherfucking clown today, how about that? As ridiculous as I can possibly imagine for fun, because I don't care what I look like. I want to look like me, and then I just want to like focus on other stuff that's important, you know. And so that's I don't know if that's healthy or not, but I'm like, ooh, wouldn't it be kind of fun if I just like wore something ridiculous and like made everyone at my family event like super uncomfortable? That sounds really fun.
Yes, definitely.
I feel similarly about my weight. Like, I felt for so long like a certain way about when I've gained weight, and I'm coming more and more to terms with like, oh, I don't owe it to other people to present in a way that makes them feel any certain way, that like, yeah. this is my body and it is what it is. Uh-huh. And I need to like stop sort of silently apologizing for my big body.
I stopped weighing myself about a year and a half ago. One day I weighed myself and I was just like, you know, I'm not gonna do this anymore. And I pushed my scale under my dresser and it's still there. And, you know, I exercise, I like have my blood taken. I'm trying to remain healthy, but I don't give a shit how much I weigh. I probably weigh around 200 pounds at this point. I don't know. And I don't really care, because I've always had a really, really heavy body. Even when I was like a size 2, I had a really heavy body. And now I'm definitely not a size 2 anymore. And I don't care. I'm like, this is how I looked in when I was 22 years old isn't like who I am and what I need to strive for. It's like, that's who I was when I was 22, but now I'm 40 and I feel great and I have clothes that fit and I think I look great. So I don't really care.
Thank you.
And you do.
Thank you for saying that. I went to the doctor recently, and usually I see a woman, and there was a man there that was seeing me, an older man. Ugh. And he weighed me, and he was like, he was kind of like theatrical about it. Like, he was like pushing the thing, and then it, like, you know, he had to put it on the next thing. Ugh. And he was like, and he like pushed the thing, and he was kind of like, you know, he really like let it kind of sink in or whatever. And I was just like, I had decided in my head, like, I'm not going to, like, I know how much I weigh. I'm not going to let this number make me feel a certain way. And I refuse to let him make me feel a certain way about my weight. And then he said it out loud and he waited for my reaction.
Oh my
God. He wanted
God.
Me to be like, oh, what? No. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly. me to be surprised or ashamed or something. And I didn't have a reaction. And then he said my weight again.
What the fuck?
And I went, yeah. And I was like, oh. And then that was all I gave it.
Good for you.
And then later, when we went into the exam room and he said my weight again.
What?
And I said, and he and I was like, yes, that's my weight. I just refused to like theatrically present as ashamed to him because that's what he wanted.
That's a good heads up though, because I haven't, I'm due for my physical and I will get weighed at my physical for the first time. I haven't been weighed, as I said, in a while, but now I know I'm going to be prepared to react. I'm going to treat it like it's the stock market and just be like, we're up! Woo!
Yes! Yes!
Awesome! Let it ride!
I'm going to bring a bell and be like, ding, 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 ding!
That's so awesome. Oh my God. I used to dread that shit when they would weigh me. And now I'm like, I don't
whatever.
Give a fuck. I did the same. I got rid of my scale and I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I'm so over it. And was it a white man? Was it an old white man?
Oh yes. It was an old white man. Of course. Good. It was.
I figured.
I feel like if it was an old black guy, he wasn't going to be like, you're getting pretty big, huh?
Yeah.
No, of course it was a white guy.
God damn.
Sorry.
Sorry, old white guys, but you can all suck a dick, okay? Stop talking about my weight.
I've got your number. We all know what you're about. Oh boy, now all the old white guys are going to stop listening to our podcast.
Sorry. We need you. My bad. Oops. I'm sorry. Let me walk it back. I'm such a stupid girl. Whoopsies. Look how pretty I am, though. Look at me.
I don't know anything. I don't take up any space.
I'm a dum-dum.
Oh, man. Liz, could you please tell us a story of a time your children or your life has rendered you an empty husk of a former self?
Yes. Well, I will say that my daughter, bless her, she's such a sweetheart. We got off to a really rough start from the get-go because do you remember the Kool-Aid commercials from like the 90s where he just like burst through a wall like ripped the whole thing off and was like, oh yeah. So that's kind of how
wait, really quick for our younger millennials here or whatever is younger than a millennial. I can't remember.
I can describe what sort of what happened. Oh,
yes. Describe because it's a fucking delight.
So it would be like a family or like, you know, people sitting in the living room and all of a sudden like this the Kool-Aid man, who was basically like a giant glass pitcher with a face on it filled with red Kool-Aid, would just burst through the living room wall and break the whole thing open and then just push himself through and be like, oh yeah. So that's sort of how my birth went. So if you could sort of, without getting too graphic, imagine I'm the living room wall.
Oh, uh-huh.
And there's like a slender door that one might be able to walk through. But instead, he bursts through. And anyway, so I had a bit
I know.
Yeah. So anyway, I have one child. So that is the first time my child broke me. So it sort of set the precedent. I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be a bit challenging. Everything's all good. I've recovered. It's all fine. But it was sort of a rocky start. So
are we talking about like a certain degree
I actually had an episiotomy, and it was happened was I had been stitched, but the stitches wouldn't heal. So I actually had to, I was stitched two more times on the table without being put under, like, because it kept breaking. So, like, for, like, the first month after having her, I was stitched up once, went home, broke again, stitched up again. Finally, the doctor was like, we need to actually, like, go in and do surgery because it's just not healing properly.
Oh, my God. Were you... Whoa, wait a sec. Just really quick. Whoa. Were you aware when you were home that it unstitched, or were you just like, was it a creeping feeling of like, something's all right?
It was pretty bad. Like, so I remember sitting on the couch, and just, let me just preface this. This is very abnormal. This doesn't happen. It happens sometimes, but it doesn't happen often. I was, you know, you hear a lot about, like, you know, C-sections being a lot more difficult than vaginal birth, but vaginal birth can have, you know, sometimes it's not always, you know, there's a little bit of issues. But so yeah. I was sitting on the couch and I sneezed and I felt like, so I gave myself a look in the mirror and it was like, oh, those two things should be together.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was intense. It was an intense, like, I remember being like 3-4 weeks postpartum, and I had other friends who given birth like at the same week, and they'd be posting on Facebook. They're on the beach. They're running. They're in jeans. I'm laying on the floor doing like Kegel exercises, trying to heal my vagina.
Oh, shit.
So I wanted to bring that up because I feel like I remember looking online and being like, I've never heard of this happening. What's wrong? Like, is this normal? Oh. It's not common, but it does happen. And so, and it ended up being fine. I had surgery and I'm totally good now, but it was a rough start. We have big, big, big heads in my family. I have a huge head. My husband has a huge head. My daughter wears, she's 8 and a half. She wears women's size, large women's hats. My husband and I both wear men's extra large. So it wasn't a surprise necessarily. Like she was, I think her head circumference was off the charts. Like she was like in the 100th over, like just super. And then her body weight and everything else was small. I'm describing her like a bobblehead. She does not look like a bobblehead. She's totally fine.
A lollipop.
We got good heads though. My sweet little lollipop. But anyway. I'm all good now, and the story I actually wanted to tell. So this is what was said. This flash forward maybe like 4 years or so. My daughter is around 4 years old, and it's like maybe 3-4. It's like that time where you kind of can stop bringing stuff everywhere. You know, when you like have a newborn and you're like, I have to bring stuff everywhere and pack a bunch of stuff. We were like, you know what? I think we're good. We can just bring us, and it was very exciting. Let's get on the train and go downtown Los Angeles. And have a day. We can just like go have a day. And so we did. We went to a place, I think it's still open. It's called Clifton's Cafeteria, downtown Los Angeles. It's like this kind of campy, like 3-story sort of woodsy restaurant. And then they also have a bar and they have a river that like runs through the restaurant.
What? So we,
yeah, it's cool. Have you guys haven't been?
Clifton? No. It's like the rainforest.
Oh, Clifton is awesome. It's really fun. Check it out. It's really old and it closed for a bit and then it reopened. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's cool. It has like a very, it's like sort of like a kitschy hip version of like a Bass Pro Shop, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm selling it correctly. I've never been to a Bass Pro Shop. I've only seen photos and I'm pretty sure there's a river. Anyway, so we go to Clifton's, we meet some friends. And I'm like, I'm going to go to the bar and get some drinks for my husband and I. So I walk over to the bar and then all of a sudden I hear a big splash and then a scream. And I look at the restaurant. My 3-year-old has fallen into the river. She's fine. She's obviously fine. She falls, splash. My husband pulls her out. She is head to toe soaking wet and screaming in this restaurant. And I'm like, oh, shit, we didn't bring anything. We didn't even drive. We took the train. Like, idiots. So I'm like, damn it. Okay, panicking. I'm like, okay, I'm going to run across the street. There's, like, vendors selling, like, clothes and stuff across the street. So my husband's, like, taking care of our screaming child. I run across the street. There's no toddler clothes in downtown LA for sale, at least not in, you know, 2016 or whenever this was. So I'm like scanning. Finally, I see a powder blue tracksuit that looks like it would fit maybe a 7-year-old. And it says in rhinestones across the front, bling, bling. Yes. And I'm like, that's going to have to do. And so I'm like crying. I'm like, oh, my kid. I walk up to the guy and I have a credit card and I think I have like $9. And I'm like, in cash. And I say, I need this. And he was like, okay, this is 15. And I was like, do you take part? He was like, no, it's casual. And I'm like, okay. And I kind of explain what happened. I'm like, this is what happened. I only have $9. Is this okay? Like, and he was just like, yeah. Kind of just like brushing me off. Like, and so I take it, I pick it up and I start to walk away. And he's like, $15. And I was like, No, I'm so sorry. I misunderstood. I thought he was saying it was okay. He was not saying it was okay. I don't know what happened. Oh. But so I'm like trying to put it back. He's yelling at me. I've got this powder blue bling bling tracksuit in my hands. A man is walking past and he's like, what's going on? Because it was like a scene. He was like, is everything okay? And the guy's pointing at me and he's like, this woman tried to steal this. And I'm standing there, this middle-aged woman holding a powder blue tracksuit, crying. And he's just like, do you need to borrow a little money, like a little bit of cash? I'm like, I guess. And he's like, oh my gosh, it's fine. He hands the remaining money to the guy. I felt like a total idiot. And like, I was trying to steal this thing, but I wasn't.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You loved that bling bling.
I just wanted it so bad. I didn't have any children around me. I'm just like, I want this. So he gives it to me and I bring it in and we're able to change her. I have a photo somewhere where it's huge on her. The sleeves are rolled up all the way. The pants are rolled up all the way. And she's just like wearing this huge thing. And it was crazy. Also, my husband had ended up buying like 200 pounds of books at the bookstore. And I was like, we don't have a car to put these in. So we're like carrying all these books around. And then our daughter dressed in this crazy outfit. And yeah, it was from that point on, I brought a bag probably for like another year or so, a bag of extra clothes, extra everything, up cash, you know, bags of cash, just in case I needed to get tracksuits.
I mean, we're also totally not addressing the elephant in the room, which is you went to the bar, your husband was watching the three-year-old fell in a fucking river in a restaurant.
That's a great point.
I didn't think about that. Yes.
He's more fun. I mean, he probably threw her in and was like, oh, I thought this was going to go better, but I guess. He's the fun parent. I'm the practical parent. He's the one that throws our kid in rivers and I'm like trying to buy tracksuits. That's just how it kind of goes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's oftentimes the breakdown, the gender breakdown I'm finding. Dudes get to be the fun parents. Uh-huh. Liz, tell us where people can find you. What can they check out?
Should I give my home address? I'm just kidding.
Sure.
That's where you can find me.
Come find me, come watch me.
I am very online. I have an Instagram that's just Liz Climo, at Liz Climo. And then I have a Twitter that's at ELCLIMO, because Liz Climo was taken. I'm on Facebook. I mean, I'm not really on Facebook, but I'll post occasionally to Facebook. It's also Liz Climo. And then I have books. I have lots and lots of books, and they're everywhere. They're in stores. I always try to, you know, get people to go to independent bookstores. And if you just go to your bookstore and search for my name or ask for a book by me, that's where you'll find them.
Fabulous. Wow. Liz is obviously super funny, and you should run out and buy all her books. It's true. That sounded sarcastic or something. It wasn't.
I believe that.
Amy, where can people find you?
Good.
I'm on Instagram at Amy Albert Cobb. You guys know this. I'm not doing anything. Just look at my pictures. Please. I'll make a video sometimes of me singing and my kids being like, stop. So if you like that kind of content, fucking come on over.
As you can see, we've been doing it's almost monthly at this point, a live Why Mommy Drinks taping, and y'all should check out our social media for information about that. I usually post about it on Instagram, and I'm trying to do it once a month. We'll see. Amy was my co-host for one of them, which was super fun. So come and check that out. It was great. And we had listeners and an audience coming and telling their stories, and it was a blast. And also, you know, I do something called Illuminati Improv with my husband, Ari, who has come on the show a bunch, and Jessica Eason, who you all know as another co-host, frequent co-host. We, along with our friend Corey, do something called Illuminati Improv. If you go to youtube.com/Illuminati Improv, you can subscribe, and we do a live free streaming improv show every other Saturday. And we also have some old shows up there. You should check it out. One recent one is with Susan Messing, who was just on the show, and it's a really fun show, and it's just free improv, done right, not shitty. All right.
If you like Why Mommy Drinks and you want to support the show, please go to Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a glowing review. Check out our sponsors and the Why Mommy Drinks Patreon. Follow and like Why Mommy Drinks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Join our Facebook group. Also, I want to hear what broke you, so email me your shit shows or leave a message on our hotline.
Copy with your shit show. 424-279-8884. Copy with your shit show. 424-279-8884. Copy with your shit show. 424-279-8842.
And all of this information is in the written description of this episode.
Liz, you are doing a great job.
Hey, thanks. Yeah.
You're crushing it.
Thanks. I feel like, you know, sometimes I feel good, and sometimes I feel like, oh God, so that's really nice to hear.
Did Liz's audio get really crazy just now?
Yeah, like girl body.
I love it. She's like, I've been a cyborg this whole time.
I was so close. I had you convinced for like an hour and 15 minutes. Now I've gone full robot. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
You can cut this, right?
It's so close to the end. I love that the whole show you sounded human, and just at the very end, now you're a robot. So be it. So be it. Amy, you are doing a great job, too.
Thank you, my love. You are also doing a great, great job.
Thanks, friend. Well, dear listener, if you find yourself being the wall in a Kool-Aid commercial and your kid is the Kool-Aid man, or if you find yourself going to your 11-year-old who's trying to make your 6-year-old feel better about losing their goldfish, who probably didn't even know they were anything... Or if you find yourself, Amy, what did you talk about? I'm a fucking idiot.
Oh, you're not an idiot. You're a lovely, brilliant woman. Being gross about, yeah.
If you find yourself trying to get... older relatives to maybe just de-emphasize the way their daughter looks, all right? Just know that you are doing a great job. Bling, bling. I don't know why I had to say that.
Yay!
I'm so sorry.
Why Mommy Drinks.
I'm Brian Husky. I'm bald.
And I'm Charlie Sanders, and I'm also bald. And we host Bald Talk on the Campfire Media Network.
Bald Talk is the podcast where two bald comedians talk to anyone bald about being bald.
But this show isn't just for baldies, Brian. Harrows will love it, too.
Bald Talk gets into vulnerability, vanity, insecurity, and self-acceptance, reminding us that we all have our respective bald spots. Not that bald spots are a bad thing.
No way. I mean, my entire head is one big bald spot.
It is one huge, beautiful bald spot, Charlie.
Get Bald Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I have like a little bit of hair, but not like you. Like, you're really bald.
I'm truly bald.
Great. I mean, it's
I'm
great.
Balder than you.
You are balder than me.
on Bald Talk.
Campfire.